We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Advent. If you have snoring, sleep apnea, or nasal breathing problems, go to AdventNose.com to schedule your appointment. Bernstein and Rahimi on a lovely Friday in Chicago. Sports Radio 670 The Score, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. Ian Happ explained to us why he was number eight, and now we have NFL players deciding they want to switch to more comfortable numbers. There are a whole bunch of changes because they've relaxed their rules positionally on what they can do, and I'm always interested into why people select certain numbers. I know for hockey, my kid always wants to be 31. And for baseball, you always wanted to be seven until, you know, you move up and they just hand you one and that's the number. They don't ask and they don't care. So now he's 25. And I said, you like it? He goes, yeah, it's a good solid number. And in this font, it looks really good. But everybody's got a comfort level with certain numbers. I was 16 for college baseball because it was the last one left and I had class and I couldn't get to uniform pickup day. So a teammate grabbed one for me and threw it at me. And okay, just happy to have one. I'll be whatever number you want it to be. So we asked for your thoughts on this and any obscure stories, any fun reasons why you happen to pick a number at any level. So let's grab some phone calls. Let's start with Adam in Indy on The Score. Hey, Adam. Adam, you there?
I guess not.
I guess not. So how about Chris?
You didn't
Chris?
Even ask me what? About my number, Dan. How dare you?
Well, in the pre-show meeting, you said, okay, you fine. What about your number experience?
It's got to be 22 because that's the day of my birthday. And I always liked Clyde Drexler when the Rockets traded for him because the Mavericks were terrible. And I was like, oh yeah, they're gonna win the championship now that they traded for Clyde. And he wears number 22. And then I find out it's because he has the same birthday I do, June 22nd.
Oh, we're only 2 days apart. Huh.
You're June 20th or 24th?
24th.
Weird. Sorry, Adam and Indy. I took your call.
That's all right. Well, that was Layla from Chicago instead. Chris in Brookfield, you're on The Score.
Yeah, I was number two because every day before practice, I take newspaper to the bathroom for number two. So that's what coach gave me.
Okay.
Can't wait until somebody tells us why they wear number 69 or 420 on their jersey either.
Nice. We asked for it, didn't we? In Glencoe, it's Brian on The Score. Hey, Brian.
Morning, guys and gals. So I always pick the number 23, and people always say, oh, is that Ryan Sandberg? And I said, no, actually, you guys remember Carmen Fanzone, the guy that played the trumpet a few times before the Cubs game? So my neighbor was his agent, and one time he had a birthday party, and he said, why don't you guys come by? Carmen Fanzone is going to be there for the birthday party. I said, oh, cool. So Carmen Fanzone went out, and we played fast pitch against this wall with the rubber ball, you know, where you have the box. And I beamed Carmen Fanzone with the ball right in the head.
Oh, and my God.
Then we come back for the birthday party, and they they had McDonald's, and I spilled my strawberry milkshake on his lap. And then he asked, do you want my autograph? And I said, no. And I felt guilty about it ever since. And so Carmen Fanzo said once during the party, who is this kid? Why is he here? So kind of and he was a nice guy. So kind of in memory of him, whenever I had a sports team and they asked me what the number was, I picked 23.
Well,
out of guilt.
Yeah, this turns into a version of relative greatness or brushes with greatness. He beaned Carmen Fanzo and then spilled a milkshake in his lap. Of all guys, too. Hey, it's one of Murph's guys, Carmen Fanzo. The 708 texter says, my name's Brandon, and I always like the number 13 because a 1 and a 3 put together makes a B.
Oh, that's a really good idea. I didn't even think about that. Did you see this one too? 3312. Husky kids like myself only received higher numbers in baseball. Back in the 80s, our Park District Oriole Park associated numbers to size. 1 was the smallest, 12 was the largest. I was always between 8 and 987.
Accurate.
Well, Jay, you got to share the picture you shared with us. Jay told a wonderful story about how old you were. You were 10, you said?
I was 11.
You were 11.
Yeah. Oak Lawn Baseball, I was on the Expos, and just like the texter said, the fat kids get the higher numbers. I think I was 12 or 13 or number 379 or something like that. And the jersey was too small for me. So my mom had to literally cut the seams and add fabric on each side down the side so it wasn't just skin tight on me the entire season. But it was not done in time for picture day. So in my picture, which I tweeted from the show account and my personal account, you can see how unhappy and awkward I feel in this jersey that's not fitting me. So I had to ride through the parade, through the streets of Oak Lawn, barely fitting into this shirt. And I swear, maybe it was just me, but I felt like people were literally pointing and laughing at my fat ass as the parade was going on.
That is a vintage photo. I just retweeted it, too. I mean,
I'm going to retweet it. And yeah, we all got to be on the same team.
Oh, my God. The hat is just fabulous.
Hats have always been a problem for me. I'm Fred McGriff. It just, unless it's a very specific kind of hat, I can't wear it because my head is so odd-shaped.
Wait, V-neck? Why is your head odd-shaped?
I'm bullish.
But the V-neck and the Expos, it's just that everything's coming together in this photo. Everything. And it's like you the pain in your eyes, the half grin, you know, it's like you're smiling with your mouth, but not your eyes. It's that is just so much going on there.
I remember this day vividly. This was a very traumatic day in my life because this is when I just started getting fat. I was kind of a normal size kid and started getting fat around 10, 11. So this is like my first real, you know, the first time I noticed like, oh, I'm a fat kid. It's kind of the first realization that, sir, we don't have a jersey fat enough for you. And that was kind of, that was depressing. So that was upsetting.
But if you can hit, then you're the lovable slugger, right? You're the large adult son.
I was not a slugger. I was a gap hitter. And if the shift had existed when I was a kid, I would have hit 0-0-0 because I hit every ball directly over the second baseman. Every single. I hit 857 my last year of baseball because I would just hit singles over the second baseman's head over and over and over again, and no one adjusted, but I never hit a home run in my life. The only time I came close is I hit one deep, got to third, and saw my teammate was still standing there, so I went back to second. Then went back to third when he decided to go home. So that was the one time I was robbed of a home run because it was a no fence field. It was just a, you know, open lot, whatever kind of a field. So I never hit a home run despite being the fat first baseman.
There are so many great texts coming in here. It's just, we asked for random number stories. Here they are. And this is the 262. In high school, my nickname was Butts. My first name is Dave. So my senior year, my football coach suggested I wear 65 because that's the number the actual Dave Butts wore. 847. I wore 25 because my birthday is on the 25th and I love Derek Lee. I wear 83 in softball now because of obvious reasons.
83.
And okay. This reminds me of something I want to ask you about real quick. Do you think the Bears got Justin Fields because they had the 83rd pick in the draft and that was good luck?
I hadn't thought about that now that you mention it.
I've been meaning to ask this question.
Because
they traded it away.
Even that.
But they had it.
So it functioned as sort of a talisman for magical possibilities because they had it. Or maybe it's the relinquishing of it. Maybe it's the and giving it back to the world or giving it to someone else that gives you a deposit in the karma bank that you can exchange.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we know that they traded it, but then they gave it away. But having it gave them the luck?
I'm willing to take it under advisement. It's certainly a possibility. But Javon Wims gave it up. Maybe that's going to mean great things for him if he's allowing someone else. There's been a bad run. Was it like Danny Braverman had it? And then Wims had it? I would look at the Bears' history at that number. There's somebody agreeing on 25, too, that if it's a certain kind of font, 25 takes up the whole back of the jersey. Yeah, that's a good point. It sort of fills in a satisfying way. I agree with that. If it's a block number font.
Wolfman says on Twitter, Wolfman81, my coach called me the fridge in youth football and made me wear 72. That's like shameful. What?
Right?
What is wrong shaming. With some of these people?
That's fat shaming. The 815 says, I wear 7 in beer league softball in honor of my one true and loved hero, Jack Daniels.
All right, the history of 83 for the Bears. Martellus Bennett, that was a good one.
Yeah. Yes.
Daniel Braverman, Macy Brooks, Randy Burks, Willie Gault, of course. Chris Haynes, Mike Hass. They got to throw the ball to Hass more often, know what I mean? Max Komar, Glenn Kozlowski, Roger LeClerc, Bill McColl.
Wait, hold on. How did a hockey guy get it? If he showed up in skates?
Roger LeClerc.
Roger LeClerc for organization.
Bill McColl, Terry Obey, Mac Percival, Golden Richards, great name, Steve Rivera, Eric Smith, David Terrell, Michael Timpson, Charlie Wade, Lawrence White, Brooks Williams, Javon Wims, and Eric Wright.
Timpson. I remember I thought he was good. And Golden Richards was somebody, he came from the Cowboys and he had caught that touchdown pass in the Super Bowl on the halfback option from Robert Newhouse and he just sucked. Golden Richards was so bad. I don't know how they didn't recognize he was bad.
He's got such a good name. You'd think he'd be good. If it's Herb's here, that man's name is Bronze Richards.
Did Golden Tate make up for it just in names with Golden in football?
Love Golden Tate. I always thought he'd be a Bear someday. I don't know why. It's not based on anything, just a feeling.
I'm trying to see like who changed their numbers around the league that I thought was notable and a good idea. Leonard Fournette, I think going back to his LSU number from 28 to 7, I feel like was a good call.
7 on a running back is weird.
But Leonard Fournette was kind of weird at LSU. You know, he was like the kid that Les Miles famously recruited at like 13 or something. That was the urban legend in college football. It was like, Les Miles recruited a 13-year-old eighth grader. What is he thinking? Turned out okay.
Yeah, I mean, think of the basketball stories get even younger than that. Eighth grade's, you're late to the party.
Well, heights and ability, I think, is a little more understandable. Like basketball, I feel like they can do that younger, but not necessarily football sometimes.
Somebody photoshopped my fat face on Hamilton Porter. and I both love you and hate you for doing that, fancy boy Brandon.
Where is this?
I just tweeted it from the show account and my own. It's
we have some Photoshop.
It's really good.
Man.
It's really good, I gotta say.
Oh, God, that's
the shirt
that's
fits
excellent.
Too well. Got to make the shirt tighter.
Yeah, I wish I didn't hate that movie so much.
Oh, stop. I'm not engaging that thought. It's ridiculous. But, Dan, you and I are closer in age than anybody else on the show. Did you play, when you played youth basketball, were you also in the short era?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and high socks and high striped socks.
Everyone could see your nuts when you're running down the field.
I can clearly see your nuts.
Tiny, tiny shorts.
Yeah.
I used to wear cut-off sweatpants underneath my shorts that were so short because this is in the pre-compression shorts days. Yeah. They were not. Time was not kind of Fats back in the day. I think uniforms have gotten more sensitive.
Everything hopefully has. I hope.
Like, kids in Addie's League can order their own sizes. Whatever size you want, youth, adult, whatever, they'll outfit it so you're comfortable.
But it isn't just that. It's not. It's instead of just getting like one shirt, now you get. My God, you get all the bags and the hitting shirts and the pullovers and, you know, road and home. And like you're talking about like 8U travel. These guys are decked out like a big time junior college team. And you're
that's some rich people stuff right there. Yeah. One shirt to rule them all.
Homewood baseball does not do that. The travel uniforms are awesome, but they are. I think there's two. There's a navy and a red for the girls, but there's no. Swag. Any swag is bought by the player or, of course, the player's families. But the catcher on Addie's travel team has custom catcher's gear, which is really cool. He's got a helmet with flames because it's the Homewood Heat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she has the padding in her catcher's helmet has peace signs, rainbow peace signs on it. It's kind of cool.
It's, yeah, Jason's been asking to do the. He's got his goalie helmet is just white, and he's been asking to do a custom airbrush job on it. And the stuff he wants on it, I'm like, dude, if you think you're gonna have issues with people, you know, kicking you in the face and scraping you up in the crease already, like he wants to do the full LGBTQ flag, he wants to do a BLM patch, and like be out there with it. I'm like, okay.
That's going to go great with hockey.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, wait till when we have some games against our rivals in Indiana, you think they're stepping on your hand now? Come on. And he's like, yeah, I don't care. So, okay, we'll see. I think it's pretty expensive to do that, though.
Get a sponsorship. What's one more live read?
What, like off the books?
Yeah, I'm Dan Bernstein for goaliepainting.com.
Hey, there have been people in our industry. There have been people in this market over the years who have done just that, who've had their own little cottage industries going on. You heard some of those stories back in the day?
Light them up!
Well, when you had saying, like, I'm going to come in and record a commercial for you that maybe would never air, and the person would just pay him in cash, and there was all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, what kind of stuff? Yeah.
Wait, does that work?
I'm very confused as to the hustle that went on back in the day over here.
Oh, well, it wasn't here. It wasn't at this station. But there have been, well, I can't, it may have been. I can't say that it definitely hasn't. But back in the Wild West days, it's not just a hustle. I mean, you're talking like there was outright fraud going on with people just, you know, operating around the margins of things based on the stories that I've heard. A lot of it apocryphal, of course.
That sounds like we're walking into a scorer tale.
Not for me, you're not, because some of these happened elsewhere. There's some out of market stuff that is, say, you think, oh my God, that actually happened. Yeah, sometimes someday the great score tale is the best of the score story. That's my favorite crazy thing, quote unquote, best of the score. Anyway, that was fun. I'm glad we did that. It had a little like impromptu Friday fung unofficially. When we come back, Jordan found some really good Bulls sound from yesterday that gives us some perspective. And some context as to what this likely non-playoff season is going to mean. And it's not all bad. In fact, I think it's probably pretty good. So we'll hear it next on Bernstein Rahimi on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I think perseverance, man. I think I've always had perseverance. But this year, with ups and downs and being pushed, you know, constantly. From the coaching staff to the front office to my teammates. I think for me, learning to play the point guard position at a high level in the NBA, which is continuing to stay focused and continuing to stay within yourself. You know, a lot of guys my age, you know, especially, you know, with taking out a star lineup, you could have handled that two different ways. You could have pouted and, you know, just said, you know, forget it, F it, or you could have just kept playing. And continue to get better and continue to stay on the grind. And I chose to continue to stay on the grind and continue to keep playing. You know, my number had got called and, you know, I took advantage of it. But I feel like perseverance is continuing to fight through.
Good for Coby White. He's been better. There's no question. A lot of the stuff he's saying, he has backed it up. And I don't know if you saw what Billy Donovan said or heard what he said last night. I noticed that Rob Schaefer put it in his piece at NBC Sports Chicago. that Donovan said it's no coincidence that White is more comfortable, because now that they've played out of the post, now that they've slowed down their pace, it slowed the game for him and changed the angles and the decisions for him. There's a lot more kickouts and reversals and opportunities for catch and shoot for him. And because they're not as up and down the floor, his decision-making isn't as hurried. I found that really interesting.
And it makes total sense. What is something that we hear athletes say all the time if they get sent down to the minor leagues, the G League, whatever, is that the game slowed down for them. And sometimes you just need that, especially when you're young. Coby White is still very young. And we forget that. And that's part of your deboilinization process. Even now, it was going to take some time for him. The stretch where Zach LaVine was out did him some real good. And we're seeing that continue. And I was really moved by what he said yesterday, just knowing, getting to know him last year, getting to know what he's trying to do on the court. He deserves this. And the dunk was amazing. That was a good-looking dunk last night.
It's unlikely they make the playoffs. They need four outcomes to go their way. They need to win two. They need the Wizards to lose two. It's very unlikely to happen. But I'm still going to come away from this season thinking that they're in a much better position than they were. And it sounds like Thaddeus Young agrees when he talked about Billy Donovan and his staff and what has been accomplished in year one.
They're receptive to, you know, things that we want to do as players. You know, they want to continue to help guys grow and get better, but they're all about, you know, they come each and every day with a winning mindset. And the only thing that they believe in is winning. So, you know, there is no, oh, we're just developing. We're trying to win games and we're trying to, you know, kick people's butt each and every night. I love that about, you know, Billy and his staff. And I think that this year was more like a family as opposed to kind of like last year, you know, where, you know, guys felt like they weren't listened to and everything was just kind of off the wall a little bit. But this year, you know, it's just, you know, it feels like a family. Guys are, you know, well receptive to, you know, anything that's being said to them. Coaches, you know, they listen. You know, we're able to go in and talk to AK and Mark whenever we want to. It's an open line of communication everywhere throughout the whole organization.
Mm-hmm. He said some stuff there, didn't he?
Sounded like it to me.
Listen to... You can go and talk to AK and Mark whenever you want to. Open communication. That
family.
Stuff still isn't lost on me.
It's not so hard, is it? I mean, really, some of what we hear what players want, it can't really all be all that difficult. And I guess it was. I guess the Bulls just were so set in their old ways that they didn't get it. They lost the thread, I think. I think they just didn't know. Those cloistered hallways, those closed doors, they needed a full refresh. They needed a clean out. And I think maybe there was more to be done. And we'll learn perhaps after the fact that there was more to be done than we even knew.
Correct. And I'll just once again say this, like having been in locker rooms when we were allowed to be in them most recently and talking to players, you get to know somebody and you listen to them talk and what they say and what they don't say for a long enough time, you know what's of significance to them. That's why I pointed out Lucas Giolito when I did talking about when he didn't have enough left in the tank that day. That was significant from him. It's also significant from Thaddeus Young. He's a respected veteran wherever he goes. So for him to even say things of this nature indicate to you how bad it must have been previously. And we saw that joy from him the entire time on the court this season. It was one of my biggest takeaways, was seeing that guy who knows better know what it's like to play for a good team. That was one of my biggest positive takeaways. So to hear him say that, even now, is still very significant to me.
I'm impressed that he's held up physically, too. I did not think he would. Playing the minute load that he was playing this and playing the significant role that he did, and obviously his role changed after the trade deadline, but that is not luck. That is a ton of work to keep a veteran player healthy over the course of a full NBA season. I know this is not the 82, but that takes his dedication, especially with all of everything that's been imposed upon them this year with COVID restrictions. But as far as sleep and travel and nutrition and weight training and everything else, that's a real good job.
It is. And also to be said, because they're the two people we heard from in this segment, you know, he's always had a very positive relationship with Coby White. Like, he took him under his wing and, like, messed with him and, like, had fun with him. And he was that veteran with the rookie when Coby was a rookie. So to have that relationship and have it build, I think, is something that we probably haven't asked a lot about beforehand.
Before the game last night, Billy Donovan also talked about Thad Young and the very communication that he described.
Well, I mean, the first thing is Thad's been amazing to work with all year long. You know, I think for a guy that's been in the league for 14 years, you know, I think would be unwise to use his experiences. And I always say this, you know, the players play the game. They see things through a different lens. Coaches see things sometimes through a different lens, but you got to collaborate and work together. You know, and we're kind of all in it together and we're all trying to pursue, you know, a common goal every night. And that's to try to win. And you want to be able to have those kind of dialogues back and forth. And I think as a coach, it's important to certainly take feedback from players. I think it's important that players take feedback from me. And I think it's important that we, you know, all figure out things that we have to do. You know, I just got an enormous amount of respect for Thad. You know, here's a guy that everything has changed for him during the course of the season. You know, he obviously was a guy that was in a primary facilitating role and did a great job with that. I think it's been pretty well documented how well he's done in the locker room, you know, as a leader. The trade happens. We're kind of a lot of players in the front court. His role changes. He has to do different things. He's always been about winning and what's best for the team. He's been in the starting lineup. He's been out of the starting lineup. And whenever I've gone to him and say, listen, I think this is best, you know, he's always been incredibly supportive. So, you know, I'm grateful to have a guy like that around, not only to be able to communicate and talk with him, but also, you know, to have a guy like that to help younger players. And I think, you know, going forward, you know, at least when I first came here, you know, to have those relationships and to build those relationships. And I kind of mentioned this before, you know, it's voluntary cooperation. We all got to cooperate and work with one another. And Thad's been a great guy to work with all year long.
Here's hoping they keep him around.
Yeah. That is my hope. Is I don't know how it all shakes out, especially when they probably want to try to add, what, two max? Right? Levine, yeah. Levine, as we saw, Jordan Malley, shout out, because he pointed out the Joe Kelly article that Levine might be willing to take less than the super max or less than the max to be able to play here. But now you have to ask the question of how that fits in with the long-term plan. And there was a notable quote about Larry Markkanen. Casey Johnson tweeted it, saying whether or not Markkanen is playing for his Bulls life, that was the quote. The quote is, I haven't had any conversations with Arturis or Mark on that, Donovan. I would just say this. I really, really love Larry as a player. He's a great guy, and he has been an incredible teammate, and he has sacrificed a lot. So there's that.
Yeah, that doesn't commit one way or the other. There really isn't. I can't divine anything from that as much as I would certainly try to. The Midday Midway is coming up. I have two stories that involve driving incidents. Both of them are bad for different reasons.
When meat is used as a weapon, is it good or bad? Let's discuss.
On the Midday Midway, next on The Score.
But you got to collaborate and work together.
I'm not doing that, so.
Odyssey is your new home for all the audio that matters to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the Odyssey app today to listen to The Score and Odyssey Station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
Once, twice. Midway. The most important of the year. Three times, four times.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
Nine, ten.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
We have reached the Midday Midway, and that means we tell you what we have been discussing. We had a wide-ranging conversation with Ian Happ, who is feeling better and says Chris Bryant is okay. And we talked about the pitching machine robot, which Layla has dubbed the Shovatron 3000, that is at Wrigley Field impersonating opposing pitchers. Not to be confused with robot Matt Nagy, because virtual Matt Nagy is going to be at Bears training camp. We're still looking forward to having a conversation with robot Matt Nagy at some point. We talked about uniform number changes in the NFL and your stories behind that, and heard some pretty pithy Bulls comments as well from players and coach.
Is it Negatron? Would that be the name of the robot Matt Nagy? Nagytron?
Negatron? I'm down.
Negatron 3000? Everybody's 3000. Like Andre 3000, we're just doing it. What do you think?
I'm in.
If
that's the Negatron 3000, and we're still efforting. We have calls in to all the people in the Bears PR department to say we want robot Matt Nagy on the show.
Yeah, Boston Dynamics, what the heck? Get on that. Like, quit making robots that scare people and start making, like, coach robots. Jeez.
I think we're going to hear from Negatron on Monday.
Negatron! Ooh.
Yes! Awesome!
It's in the works.
A South Carolina woman caught fire during a police chase Thursday after multiple containers of gasoline exploded in the back of her car. Now, I don't know if you've seen the photos of people hoarding gas. Some filling up plastic bags with gasoline.
What are y'all doing? I
have that beat. I saw a picture today. I don't know if this is real. Maybe it's staged. But a woman filling up a laundry hamper with holes in it.
Okay, that's got to be a bit.
I think it's a bit, but it looks like it's captured from a car dashboard. And you never know.
Here's, you know, we were talking about the pandemic and like how it's kind of like taught us some truths about things, like perhaps like prepping and like apocalypses and like, you know, internal migration and whatever else. Like, we always had like romantic theory of like natural selection being something other than it was. This is the crap that it really is. People handling gasoline and not knowing how to contain it or what to do with it.
The woman identified as 28-year-old Jessica Dale Patterson was taken to a hospital. Her condition has not been released. Before leaving the scene, Ms. Patterson told deputies she was transporting several containers of fuel that she was hoarding in the trunk. These containers of fuel were the catalyst for the explosions. She was driving a 2007 Pontiac G6 near the town of Pickens when deputies began following her after determining the vehicle's license plate had been reported stolen. She accelerated the vehicle in an attempt to elude law enforcement, lost control of the car, ran off the road, and flipped. The vehicle immediately caught fire, and multiple explosions were heard inside. As the deputy approached the vehicle, the driver exited the vehicle and was observed to be on fire. She's on fire! And we can answer the question, is this irony? Maybe.
Just dumb. Like, stop hoarding gasoline like that. It doesn't work. Only like the red gas container, and even then you get a gallon and that's it. And some idiot replied to me when I said I wanted a gallon of cold brew today and was like, they're putting it all in gas and they're using all the gallons for gasoline now. And I'm like, really? You want to tell that to a milk container? Like, stop it. Stop. Don't stop doing this, however. A fight between two former neighbors at an Ohio Walmart ended with one of them being struck in the face with 10 pounds of meat.
Yeah.
Everybody with me. It's a Friday. Let loose. A fight be like, I can't. Why are they neighbors? Why are you fighting the Walmart? How did this happen? And it was in the chip aisle. The potato chip aisle. Officers in South Euclid were sent Tuesday afternoon to a Walmart in Idaho. The potato chip aisle following a fight between two women, according to police, a woman meat fight. Police learned one of the women had a protection order against the other following an incident when they lived in the same duplex. It gets better. When they made eye contact, the woman the protection was against said she would beat the other woman as well as her 7-year-old daughter. When they made eye contact at the Walmart, it's going down. She allegedly pulled down her COVID-19 mask and tried to spit on the woman, but she missed. She proceeded to grab a 10-pound log of meat from the other woman's shopping cart and started hitting her in the face with it.
That's no casual weapon either. And, you know, it's... I when I saw that story, I remembered it's not called a log. And you know what I'm talking about? It's the plastic container of meat that's sealed at either end, much like the Pillsbury chocolate chip cookie dough, except it's meat. It's got like a little aluminum thing at either end. And I couldn't remember what it was called. I thought it was called a plump. So I did a search for it. Like, no, it's not. And it took me forever to find it. But I then found, like, it was like meatstats.com or something. It's called a chub. You usually see the one-pound chub, which just looks like you want to throw it at somebody. But how do you swing a 10-pound chub of meat? I mean, how do you grip it and rip it at that point?
Everybody likes chub.
It's a chub. It's a 10-pound meat chub.
How have you gotten through that entire spiel without not dysfunctional laughing at this point? Because I am gone.
And why do we have Tom Thayer chub. Saying that? Why does that
Everybody likes chub.
What is that about?
Is he talking about the small smoked fish chub? Everybody does like it. It's a
Tom Thayer.
How much talent is in this draft that can really be a bona fide outside speed pass rusher? And yeah, you know, everybody likes chub.
Nick Chubb.
Oh, Nick of course. Chubb.
There you go. No, Bradley Chubb. Nick Chubb's the running back.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Bradley Chubb.
Also, isn't the first like alternate use of anything you think of to have it be a weapon? That's my thought. Always. Like, what's the alternate use of this object? Weapon. Like, that's just what I go to. But like, why wouldn't you use that as a weapon?
I've got a full-on raging Chubisky.
Everybody likes chub.
Not that kind of weapon, y'all. It's too early for that kind of talk.
10 pounds of meat. A San Francisco man who was arrested for riding in the back of his Tesla as it drove on the highway says he'll keep doing it after being released from jail. And he'll keep buying more cars as they get impounded. After getting booked on two counts of reckless driving, Param Sharma, Sahadev's brother, arrived for a Wednesday interview with the Bay Area news station KTVU, riding in the back seat of a Tesla again. But it wasn't the same car the California Highway Patrol pulled him over in. The day after being released from jail, he told the channel Sharma bought a new Tesla Model 3 because the other was impounded. He also said he is quote unquote very rich. He said, I have unlimited money to blow on Teslas. If you take away my Tesla, I will get another Tesla. That's how it works.
DB.
They had arrested
not your
him.
Initials.
Yup. They had arrested him for reckless driving and disobeying a police officer after videos circulated online of Sharma riding down the highway in the back seat. He'd been cited for the same offense in April. He told KTVU he bought a Tesla with a full driving package, but seemed overly confident in the feature's abilities.
He was overly confident in his package, huh?
Apparently so. They said even in its most advanced iteration, the full self-driving system has major flaws. Tesla tells the software's beta testers to be vigilant, as the feature could do the wrong thing at the worst time. In tests, Consumer Reports said full self-driving performed inconsistently and sometimes disengaged without warning. Still, Sharma says he has no plans to stop riding in the back seat of his car, despite the clear dangers it poses to pedestrians and other drivers. He says by mid-2022, the backseat thing will be normal, and right now people are just taking it out of proportion.
Or he'll be dead or in jail.
Which is fine, as long as he doesn't hurt some innocent people.
Here's the question, though. Then why do you include it in your cars that you can buy for consumer use?
Yeah, that is, you're sort of begging for people. All it takes is one D-bag like this guy to try to exploit. I'm very rich and I can afford unlimited Teslas. Jail this guy for a while.
We gotta go to break. We have a special guest coming up.
Jason Benetti. He is indeed special in his use of verbs and his ability to describe the sports that he sees in front of him. He's had some fun White Sox games to call, had another win yesterday, and he'll join us next on Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
I've got a full-on raging Chubisky.
Molly and Hall, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period.
NFL insider Brian Baldinger.
When you swing and miss as badly as did on Mitch Trubisky, the position and the mistake, it never goes away until you fix it. I just thought Justin Fields is exactly what any team would want. I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong, and I think the Bears got it right.
Molly and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. An Odyssey station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.